Normally, I open my message by saying, we are in a series titled, or I'm starting a series, or I'm finishing a series, but today we are not in any series whatsoever. This is just a one-off message this morning. A little while back, as we talked in the Overside, and we were talking about the life of the church, we were talking about all sorts of stuff. We started talking about membership, and today I am going to speak about membership. We're going to think about what the Bible says about membership responsibilities and privileges, and hopefully by the end of what I've had to say this morning, we're in a position to start to think about our membership and realize why we're talking about it today. Now, we're thinking about what the Bible says about membership, and as the Bible doesn't say anything about church membership, this is going to be a very short message. We could be just heading straight out to morning tea, but we're not. We're not. Morris isn't ready for us. Over the years, through the churches, and you're aware that I've been part of Baptist churches for all my ministry life. It's exactly the same thing. Membership, Baptist churches have memberships, exactly the same as we do here in the Church of Christ. But over the years, people have said, well, you know, I'm not going to become a member. It's not biblical. There's nothing in the Bible that says you must sign on the dotted line to become a member of a local church. Now, the Bible doesn't say that we should celebrate Jesus' birth either, but that doesn't stop those people from having a wowza time at Christmas. So, no, the Bible does not talk about local church membership partly. The people who object to these things, to becoming a member, they point to the biblical fact that all people, all Christians, are members of the church universal as soon as they give their life to Jesus. And that is a fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we sort of draw this out of this passage. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And as we tease that out a little bit, we understand that anybody who's become a Christian, wherever it is in the world, is added into the family of God. We've become members of the family of God. So people who object to becoming a member of a local church, they say, well, why do I need to become a member of something that I'm a member of already? Why do I need to sign on the dotted line? As I continue through today, I want to give you some reasons why it is important to sign on the dotted line, if you want to put it that way. We are all members. If you've given your life to Jesus, we are all members of the family of God, but we have an issue here within our church, and it's called membership of Gisborne Church of Christ. So that's what we're thinking about today. The first reason why people should be considering membership of Gisborne Church of Christ is because legally we have to have a membership. Okay? Legally, Gisborne Church of Christ has to have a membership. Now, this is one of those things that can really annoy people. You know, the separation of church and state. Why are we sort of submitting to what the government says, and government says we've got to have a membership? Why aren't we just free to worship God the way we want to worship God and do whatever we want to do? Why is the government telling us and imposing on us what they want us to do? And the argument goes on like that. Well, there are all sorts of implications if we don't. It's as simple as that. We are working through this process of becoming incorporated because not being incorporated puts us at some risk. We've talked about that before. We've explained that. This is why we're going through this process. An incorporation is a government protection for us. The government says, if you do this, then you are protected. So we've got this issue straight up. This is something we are working towards so that we as a congregation are protected, and the government says this is the way that you are protected. So the government says lots of things to us as a church. We don't just exist in isolation from the society that we live in. We live in a society. There are rules that bind us. There are rules that bind us as a church that the government says this is what you need to do. Incorporation's a protection. It's a good thing. We could talk about tax implications. We could talk about insurances. We could talk about all sorts of stuff that the government imposes on us, if you like, but the government says, this is what you need to do to be a church in Victoria, in Australia. And we live with that. Once the government says, this is what you need to do to be a church in Victoria, and it's something that is completely opposite, that is completely opposed to what the Bible tells us and how to live as Christians and be church, as soon as the government does that, then we've got some big decisions to make. But at this point in time, we don't face those things. There is nothing that the government imposes on us at this point in time that we need to say, we need to withdraw from all everything the government tells us to do. So this is just one of those things. Whether, as I said, we're working towards incorporation, and to be an incorporated entity is sort of the language that we're using at the minute. To be an incorporated entity, you have to have a membership. We are not an incorporated membership right at this point in time, but an unincorporated entity also needs to have a membership. So for however long this church has existed, to be this church, you have to have a membership. If we don't have a membership, then by and large, we cease to exist the way we exist. So that's the first thing. We have to have a membership. We have to have a list of people who say they are members of Gisborne Church of Christ. So as you're contemplating, as you're sitting there, as you're thinking about membership, you're a member already, some of you are not members already, it's thinking through this, well, okay, Gisborne Church of Christ needs a list of members. What am I going to do? The second reason why I'd encourage you to become a member is because membership declares your commitment to Gisborne Church of Christ. When you sign on the dotted line, which if that's the way we do it, we do have a form to fill out, but when you declare, when you say, I want to become a member of Gisborne Church of Christ, you are declaring your commitment to this church. And signing on the dotted line, it's your declaration to say, this is the church that I belong to. This is the church family that I will grow with. This is the church family I will love. This is the church family that I will serve. This is the church family I will support. And that's what you're saying through your declaration of membership. There are all sorts of churches in Gisborne. There are all sorts of churches in the Macedon Ranges. And we are free to attend and be part of any of those churches at any time that we want to. Nobody ties you up and drags you along Sunday by Sunday to Gisborne Church of Christ. You can go to any church you like. But when we come into membership, this is you saying, this is my church. This is the church that I want to be part of for all sorts of reasons that might be personal to you and different from the person sitting beside you. But this is the church that I want to be part of. Your declaration to commitment to Gisborne Church of Christ says two things. It says I can be counted. We've got to have a list. We've got to have a heap of members. We've got to have members. And your declaration says, I can be counted on that list. I'm going to be one of the members of this church. The second thing that you are saying through this is, I can be counted on. I can be counted on. Gisborne Church of Christ is my church. Gisborne Church of Christ is the church that I am committed to. And Gisborne Church of Christ can count on me for all sorts of things. We worked through a series of messages titled, What on Earth Am I Here For? Why does Gisborne Church of Christ exist? And the whole of that series, it was a job description for membership, if you want to think about it that way. What are we here for? What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to be? Why do we meet like this of a Sunday morning? And what does that mean to the rest of the week? We work through that series. See, becoming a member says, I am committed to help this church help people become Christians. Do you remember those five things? So when you sign up to membership, when you make your commitment, your declaration of commitment to this church, I am committed to help this church help people become Christians. I am committed to worship God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am committed to use my gifts and abilities in the life of the church. I am committed to get to know and be known by other people in the church. I am committed to grow in my faith and help others grow in their faith. Those five purposes, the five reasons why God says a church exists. The Bible says the church exists. And becoming a member is declaring that this is the church that I am going to do that and I am going to be that. Our current constitution puts it this way. Membership is a commitment to this church to grow in faith, service, generosity, mission, and ministry. Being a member of Gisborne Church of Christ, we need a membership. Membership is a declaration of your commitment to our church. Then there's a financial obligation to membership as well. We're tackling all the stuff that we don't want to think about and talk about too much, are we, this morning? There's a financial obligation to membership. One of the expectations of membership is to contribute financially to the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, just reading from the Message. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. It's talking about finances, this particular passage in the Bible. As I talked with my friends at the Caravan Place about being a pastor, that was the curiosity, and there was all sorts of things right at the beginning. But as they got to know me, they got to realise that I won't say those things, but I was a not reasonably normal sort of a person. Once they got past all of that, oh, Greg's all right. Then there were some questions would come at different times. They would ask me different things about this, that, and the other thing. But they were very curious about me as a pastor in my previous work. And one of the common questions was about money. After we got past, the church is only after my money, once we got past that thinking and that statement, then they asked me some other questions about being a pastor. And then they say, why do they pass that plate around and they expect people to put money in it? So we'd have a bit of a chat about that. How much money did I get paid to be a pastor? I got that a few times. Where did my pay come from? So they were genuine questions. They were interested in me. They were interested in being a pastor and what all that meant. And they were interested in these things. They were genuine questions. They weren't trick questions to try and trip me up and then, ha, 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 gotcha. They were just interested in what's going on. Now, these people were quite shocked to learn that my pay come from what people put in the plate every week. And then the next obvious question was, what if nobody puts anything in the plate this week, on any given week? And the answer to that, just earned blank stares. Kath and I, throughout our ministry life, we have to say that from beginning to end, we are exceptionally blessed. We've been blessed financially. We're heading towards retirement and we've moved to Gisborne, we've bought a house. We've bought a house that we never, ever thought that we would ever be able to live in, to be honest. And there were times in our ministry where, you know, this thing, if nobody puts anything in the plate, what's your pay? There were times in our ministry where that was exactly the case. When whatever was given was what we had to live on. And if you get really close to Kath and she decides that she's going to open up to you, you sort of got to get to know her a little bit. She may or may not tell you that there were times in our lives when our pay situation was, we received our pay And then we would have to go and sell something to pay the bills that we knew were coming up this week. Now, it all sounds a bit dramatic, I suppose, and it all sounds a bit like a grab for your money or something like that. Or, if you think like my mother did, I'm not given anything because old Hendo's got everything that he needs. He doesn't need anything. Hendo was the pastor of our church back in those days. My mother held fairly tight, Scottish heritage. She didn't let the money go very quickly. But the basic issue is there is a financial obligation. We have bills to pay. I could take you through, and I might take you through a sermon particularly on giving and what the Bible says about giving. And often we try to spiritualize the whole thing. And, you know, it's God's blessing, so we give God's blessings back and all that sort of stuff. And that is absolutely true. But the Bible also talks about just a bottom line. Do you know what the tithe was for? It was so the priests could survive. And when you think about that, we talk about staff in our day and our situation. We talk about the bills that we've got to pay. We got power and we've got gas and we've got all sorts of stuff. We've got to pay those bills just the same as everybody else does. So there's a bottom line where as members we have a financial obligation to make sure that we can pay the bills so that we can turn the lights on week after week after week. This church has made some excellent decisions, in my opinion, over the years. We have a building that allows us to earn an income. We actually earn a fair bit of money through the hiring of our building. But when you and I sit here, as members of this church, or even just as part of the congregation, as we sit here, that shouldn't stop us from giving generously. And there's this strange thing in churches over the years of my ministry where we have an abundance of money and the giving drops. I find that really interesting. I find that disappointing. You see, we are called to give generously. We're not here to make a profit, but any surplus to our immediate needs, and being a pastor for 30 years, let me say this, any surplus to our immediate needs allows the leaders to dream. I've been in churches where they struggled to pay me, and what do we do? What ministries can we do? Nothing, because we haven't got the money to support them. I've been in churches where we've had an abundance. Similar to this, we hired the place out for different things, and we had money, we had surplus money. And as a leadership, it was so refreshing. It was so releasing. What can we do now? We've got this sort of surplus from our day-to-day needs at the minute. What can we do? And it allowed us to dream. It allowed us to sort of look outside who we are and what we are right at the minute. It allowed us to think, God, what do you want? What's your Holy Spirit saying to us right here, right now, that we can implement because we know that we've got the money? We know that the church has committed to this level of money. What is it that we got commitments at this level at the minute? What can we spend this money on so that we can do the things that Jesus wants us to do? Do you know that most churches don't do what they dream about because they don't have the finances to do it? That's a fact. Most churches don't do what they dream about because they don't have the money to finance. And I know what you're thinking, well, that's just a lack of faith. Let's step out in faith and the Lord's going to provide and it'll all come together. Well, there is a fine line between faith and stupidity. There just is, folks. There is a long list of financial problems as churches stepped out in faith and they crashed and burned financially. Wise leadership takes financial stewardship seriously. Stewardship is sensible management of the money that God has given us. There's an element of faith to that that stretches us and moves us on and tries to achieve the things that we think that the Lord's calling us into. But there's also a sense of we can't just throw this money out and lose it all and all that sort of stuff. There's a very, very fine line between stepping out in faith and trying to achieve the impossible, and the impossible was never God's will in the first place. Very fine line. Folks, generous giving allows the leaders to plan ahead. It allows the leaders to know that there are finances to start new ministries. As we dream and as we think about who we might be as Gisborne Church of Christ, what we might be able to achieve, it allows the leaders to dream about all of that and not just finance who we are right now. Did that make sense to you? Basically, that's what churches do year after year after year after year. We finance who we are right now. I would love to be, I've been part of churches that knew the finances were there, knew they could dream. We dreamed, we decided, and the church went to a whole different level in all sorts of ways. It was magnificent. It was fantastic. It was releasing. And it was refreshing as we saw the Lord just gather all that stuff up and achieve things again that we never thought possible. It allows leaders to start ministries that will impact the people that we want to serve. Ministries that will bring the gospel into the lives of people who don't know Jesus yet. And that's what we're on about. Gisborne Church of Christ needs a membership. Your membership is a declaration of your commitment to our church, and being a member of Gisborne Church of Christ is a commitment to give financially. Now the question is, well, how much should we give? How much should I give? How much is each family supposed to give? Well, we don't demand any particular amount. I personally think that God has given us the goal of 10%. We call it a tithe. I believe that that is God's instruction to us. It's a goal. This is what we should be aiming at. That's how I think of it. We've got to sit here and we've got to balance that with the cost of living and the interest rate rises and inflation and all that sort of stuff. But in the end, I think that passage that we read before, we have to actually sit down and think carefully about what God has blessed us with and what we're going to give back into the life of the church, into the ministry that God has placed us in. This is the church that we're committed to. And we've got to think about that and we've got to determine that. But I also think it's not just a matter of 10%, well, all this stuff is there, so I can give 1%. If that's what you can give, that's what you give. But I think it's also about generosity, and I think it's got to hurt us a little bit. And I think that's the lesson that story of the Pharisee, and he brings his 10%. He probably could have given 50%. Look at me, I can give the 10%. And the poor little widow who had nothing, and she gave a couple of cents, but it was a couple of cents more than she could afford. That's generosity. The couple of cents is generosity because she didn't even have it to give it. God says, give generously. And that's our starting point. God, what does generous look like with my income? As I said, I think 10% is a goal. I think that's sort of you work around the 10%. Maybe you can give 11%. Maybe you can give 9%. You determine that as you sit down and think carefully through it. Just want to say this as well in terms of giving. If you are earning $1 million a year, firstly, I want to know how to get a job like that. Secondly, 10% is loose change in your pocket. You need to think about that. What's my income? How much is God blessing me with week after week after week after week? Am I just going to give the loose change, or am I going to give generously? As I said, for somebody earning a lot of money, 10% is not much. And if everybody else is not earning that much is given their 10%, well, they're the people that are actually holding the church up. So there's a challenge there for us, isn't it? What's your level of income? How much am I going to give? Think about it and decide on it. Another thing about membership, just really quickly, only members of the church can become leaders of any ministry. That's in our constitution, so we need to understand that as well. So if you're thinking, this is my church, this is where I want to go, I think I've got some gifts and abilities to offer into leadership of a ministry or leadership of the church, any of that stuff. Well, you have to become a member to be able to step into a leadership position. So what qualifies you to become a member? What qualifies you to become a member? There's only one thing that qualifies you to become a member, and that is that you need to have given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only thing. If you've done that, then you can become a member, and we would really appreciate it if you did become a member. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I haven't got to that point yet. Well, I am starting a new Christianity Explained group this week. I've got one happening already. Someone else has come forward and said they would like to do that, and I am so excited about all of that. That's what gets me going as a pastor. But we're starting it again. You can join in that this week. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I need to give my life to Jesus before I do anything else, then come and see me. Just say, Greg, I want to be part of that. Now, according to our current constitution, membership has an expiry date. This is why the oversight were thinking about it and talking about it, because we are heading up towards that expiry date. The expiry date is the AGM, which is scheduled for March the 3rd, coming up. As we finish off the year and we head towards that AGM, it's now an opportunity to start thinking about your membership, because it will finish. According to our current constitution, it will finish at the AGM. So between now and then, you need to express your desire to become a member. In my opinion, if you regularly attend this church and you are fully supportive, it shouldn't be a matter of, will I become a member or not? You should be asking yourself the question, why wouldn't I become a member? If you've given your life to Jesus, you regularly attend this church, you support what this church does, then my question to you is, well, why wouldn't you become a member? Having said all that, there is a spanner in the works. It's called incorporation. As we move towards becoming an incorporated entity, there are a few things that we need to work through. We're working through a new constitution, and at our first meeting we had a few questions about what this... We have a draft constitution in front of us that our lawyer has given us, and we had a few questions about that. What does this mean to us here, Gisborne Church of Christ? What does it mean to us, some of these things? We had a few questions that we put back to him. A couple of things that came up, can we actually have a membership that ceases every 2 years and then we start again? So that was one of the questions. We got a response back, and the lawyer is prepared to put these things in our draft constitution, but then the draft constitution or our constitution goes to the ACNC, which is a government body that will determine whether that constitution is acceptable or not. Now, just don't get too upset about all that. That's what we have to do. But there may be things that we want that is simply not acceptable to that government body. So at this point in time, we're waiting on this. We can put these things in our draft. We send the draft off to the ACNC and they will determine. They might send it back and say this is not acceptable. So at this point in time, there might be some stuff about membership that might come back to us that they don't accept, and we might have to change it. So that's in limbo just a little bit. Another questions we had, the minimum age of membership. So we're putting some of those things in that suit us, how we've been operating in the last little while. We're putting that in the constitution, but has to be determined whether that's acceptable or not. However, there are everything that I've said about membership this morning, it applies to who we are today, and it will apply. It'll be no different to who we become when we're incorporated. And when we become incorporated, we've got this finishing date for our current constitution, current membership. We also have a finish date for Gisborne Church of Christ unincorporated. That's who we are right at the minute. And we have a start date for Gisborne Church of Christ incorporated. So all memberships will cease anyway once we transition into that incorporated stage, which is not new to us, but it will finish, then we have to sign up to the new entity. The minute we are Gisborne Church of Christ, legally we are unincorporated, we will become Gisborne Church of Christ, Inc. A bit like Monsters, Inc., if you've watched the movie. Just Inc., Incorporated, INC, Incorporated. You see, membership is still a declaration that Gisborne Church of Christ is my spiritual home. Nothing changes, whether incorporated or unincorporated. It's still a commitment to be involved. Nothing changes from who we are now to who we will become. It's a commitment to financially support the church. It doesn't change from who we are today to who we're going to become. I would have loved to hand application forms out now so the wallet's all fresh and you think about it, what do you want to do? I would have loved to have done that, but I've chosen not to, just because we've just got this little uncertainty about our constitution, what that's going to look like. I don't want you to sign up and then you so we get the constitution. The constitution's a little different than what I thought it was going to be, and oh, I don't know about this anymore. We don't want to put you in that situation. So I haven't done that this morning, but that will come. It'll come well before we get to the AGM. I said at the beginning of this message I was going to talk about our responsibilities and our privileges of becoming members of our church. So everything that I've said up until this point in time are our responsibilities. I'm now going to talk about our privileges, and you're all going to go, oh no, how much longer? Folks, here's the thing. The privileges are exactly the same as our responsibilities. The privileges of membership are exactly the same as our responsibilities. It is a privilege to declare Gisborne Church of Christ as my spiritual home. Isn't it? Yes, it is. It is for me. I hope it is for you too. This is not just a process. We moved into this town. We looked in the... We Googled, I think, the churches in Gisborne. Which church is going to be our new spiritual home? And we poked our head in the door of this church and we looked in and we sat in on a service and we left the church. We went home and Kath and I talked about it. We said, that was really good. We like this church. We didn't even go anywhere else. Because this is the church that we wanted to pitch in with. We just liked the people. We liked the way it operated. It suited us. And for me, it is a privilege to be part of this church. It's a privilege to use my gifts and abilities to serve God, to serve each other, to serve the wider community under the banner of Gisborne Church of Christ. I find that a privilege. When people say to us, well, why do you do that garden? Because I'm a member of this church and God calls us to help people, and most of our produce in the garden, it goes off to the food bank. And that's part of what we do. That's part of what we believe as members of Gisborne Church of Christ. I count it a privilege to use my gifts and abilities to serve this church. And it's a privilege to finance. It is a privilege to finance the extension of the kingdom of God in the Macedon Ranges. And bear this in mind as well, that in our giving, in our offerings, a portion of our offerings, 10% of our offerings, or our income, I think, the whole kit and caboodle, 10% of that goes to various missions. And some of what we give affects people on the other side of the world. Is that a privilege? I think it is. Gone on long enough. I just want to finish with just a little story. Over my ministry years, and I told you a little bit, finances weren't always easy to come by as a pastor. And there were times, just different times, where we struggled a little bit with all of that. And what I did to help us along that line is I salary sacrificed my tithe, which means it saved a little bit on taxation. You can debate that over lunch if you want, but don't talk to me about it. That's just what we did. It just helped. It helped. So for, I don't know how many years, 20 years maybe, we sacrificed. I sacrificed my tithe So I didn't get it in my pay packet. It just went straight into the church. And so the church didn't actually pay me that much. It stayed in the church. So that was what I did. When I stopped ministry and I started work in the caravan place, I would get my pay, same as everybody else does. It was put into my bank account. And I sat at the computer and I transferred the money out of my account into the church's account. I got excited about that. I might be an idiot. I don't really know. I just got excited about that. My determination to finance my church was my decision, and I took the money out and I placed it in the church's account. And every time I did that, and every time I do that, there's something in my heart that says, this is an absolute privilege and I am pleased to give this, because I believe in this church. The responsibilities and the privileges are exactly the same. And I hope that, thinking about this, that that's where you land as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we sort of work through all of this, the practicalities of being a church, the separation of church and state and the things that the government imposes on us, as we think about cost of living, as we think about interest rate rises, as we think about how do we give today, how do we give when it's becoming increasingly difficult. Lord, I just pray that as we think about membership, that we would come to some really healthy conclusions. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit would just work just in our heart, in our minds, to help us to come to conclusions that are your conclusions. Lord, the responsibilities and the privileges. Lord, I pray that as we think about that, even as we get a form sometime in the not too distant future, as we get a form and we sign on the dotted line, Lord, just raise up within our hearts the joy of making that commitment again. A sense of positivity that this is my church and I'm all in. And Lord, because of that, I just pray that we as a church, we might just flourish. That our church would become all the things that we dream about from time to time. Because all of us are committed. And all of us want what you want. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just stir up in us again just a fresh commitment to be the people that you want us to be, doing the things that you want us to do for the sake of your kingdom. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.